In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. As we have been hearing and following in the news, the marvelous apparitions of the Virgin Mary in the skies of Egypt. And His Holiness Pope Shenouda III, this past Wednesday, spoke about apparitions in the history of the Church, and especially in the Coptic Orthodox Church, how heaven and earth are connected together. And in this blessed month of Kiyak, it's the fourth Coptic month, which is dedicated to the preparation for the Nativity, because the Feast of Nativity occurs on the 29th day, which is the day before the last of the Coptic month of Kiyak. So the Church dedicates this month for the preparation of the Nativity and the praises of the Virgin Mary. And that's why the Virgin Mary loves this month, and she comes to her children to rejoice with them, as heaven and earth are connected together. There is no much separation. Because it was through the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ that heaven and earth were once again connected after a great schism or disconnection for so many centuries after the fall of humanity. And His Holiness said that He will have, will gather all the reports from the thousands and tens of thousands of people who have seen the apparitions in different places in Cairo, on top of so many different domes, and the spiritual signs that have been occurring, and the miracles, and the healing. And he will have an official statement possibly by next week, God willing, so that we could be confident in what it is. It is only fitting that we speak this evening about our beloved mother, the Virgin Mary, and what she means to us as Orthodox Christians. Now, there are two extremes when it comes to the Virgin Mary. There are those who have elevated her to the point of calling her a co-redeemer, meaning that she was just as much responsible for our salvation as our Lord Jesus Christ. So they have set her on the same level as our Lord Jesus, the Savior, and even went as far as to say that she herself was born without the original sin, that she, the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary herself, which means that she was conceived in her parents' womb without the original sin. And this is not the faith of the Orthodox Church, because we believe that the Virgin Mary said that my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices at God my Savior. So how can she be a savior and she was in need of salvation herself? The one who does not have a gift cannot give it to others. So there is no way that the Virgin Mary was a savior. On the other extreme, in the Reformation that came about in the 16th century, they went to the whole other realm or extreme. Because up until from the Middle Ages, up until the 15th and beginning of 16th century, the value of the Virgin Mary has been increasing so much to the point that she reached the level of Christ, even in worship, even in prayers, even she was receiving more honor than our Lord Jesus. And bit by bit, the image of Christ in the Western Church was decreasing, and the image was of the Virgin Mary was increasing. So the Reformation came about and they said, well, the Virgin Mary is a mere human being and we can treat her like anyone else, any other character in the Old Testament. Mary is like Abraham, like Moses, like Paul, like whatever it is that they are thinking about. She's just one of those characters that we shouldn't give her any significance, even if we mention her name, just in passing. And unfortunately, some of the symbolism that was tied to her is like, you know, a tuna can. You want the contents inside. You know, the can is just there to hold the contents, but the can itself is of no value. You end up tossing it afterwards in the garbage. Unfortunately, these are some of the symbolisms of how the Reformation, it didn't all happen at once, but it was a progression. But up until this present day, there are people who are extremely opposing the Virgin Mary and her value. The faith of the Orthodox Church has always been moderate. She was the only person in the world who was worthy enough to carry the incarnate Word of God. The incarnation of the Logos only happened once in history. It will not happen again in the future. It did not happen again in the past. It did only happen once. So the analogy of the container is not really applicable here, because when it comes to tuna or whatever it is, there are thousands and millions of cans that you can put the contents and throw away. But for this pure vessel, the Virgin Mary, she was the only one hand-picked by God to be His carrier in her womb, and she was the one from whom our Lord Jesus took His flesh upon His incarnation. So we cannot go to one extreme or the other, but the Orthodox Church has always been moderate. And must I say, for this reason, the Virgin Mary has always loved the Orthodox Church, and in particular, the Coptic Orthodox Church. Some people attack the Virgin Mary and her virginity. The Church believes that when she gave birth to our Lord Jesus, she was a virgin, and she remained a virgin even after giving birth to Him until the last day of her life. And for this reason also, when we have these amazing apparitions happening, it is a confirmation to us that we have it right on. We have our faith right on concerning the Virgin Mary. Some people will say, how is it possible that she gave birth while still remaining a virgin? Let's put it this way. Saint Mary was the only one who was called virgin in the Bible 4 times, twice in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament. And it will be too bad that after the Bible calls her virgin 4 times, that she turns out not to be a virgin, even before or after giving birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Mary loved the Coptic Church, and she has so much history in it, because it was in the Holy Family who visited the land of Egypt and the Coptic Church when the Holy Family ran away from Herod. And they escaped and stayed in Egypt close to 3.5 years, going around from one place to the other, and they blessed so many locations all over the land of Egypt. And she was called also the swift cloud who will carry Christ, because she carried Him, and like the cloud is symbolized in the concept of fast without any limits, and carrying the water in it. So the cloud sort of carries the water in it. So Christ is the source of the living water. So when the Old Testament speaks about this swift cloud coming to Egypt, it is symbolized in the Holy Virgin Mary. So many apparitions happened in the past, but especially in the year 1968, there was a huge apparition in Zetoun, which is a district of Cairo, where the Virgin Mary was seen for hours each night for a few months and possibly years. And so many healing miracles occurred. And now we are seeing the exact same thing happening again. I hope that you are following the news in the internet of all the beautiful apparitions that are occurring. What else do we know about the Holy Virgin Mary? The Church celebrates for her several feasts, not in order to worship her, but to call her blessed and to commemorate her and always to remember her and to keep her in our mind. You see, the Coptic Church is a faithful church to those who love God and who serve God. And our Lord Jesus said, I will honor those who honor me. So the church is trying to be faithful to those who have preceded us, such as the saints, in order to show a clear example of what it means to be living the Word of God in the world that we are in today. So they were able to conquer and to live their faith, and we honor them and we give them salutation and we respect them. So it's not a worship, and we never pray to the Virgin Mary. Some people say we pray to the saints or do we pray to the Virgin Mary. No, this is dogmatically and theologically not correct. We never pray to anyone else except to God. But we can ask a saint to pray for us as a friend and as someone who is human just like us, except that they were faithful in their life and they completed their life in all faithfulness towards God. So now they are in heaven, they are closer to the throne of God. So you and I can ask them to pray for us. As we say in the Divine Liturgy, pray to the Lord on our behalf, or intercede on our behalf. So we ask the Virgin Mary to intercede on our behalf. And this type of intercession is what is called an intercession of pleading. So ask the Lord on our behalf. This is different than the intercession of Christ, because some people come and ask this, why do you ask the intercession of the saint? You are able to pray for your own. Yes, we may pray for ourselves, but God also told us pray for one another. And the saints are there not as, you know, there's a big separation between us and them, but we still believe that we are in the same body of Christ. We pray for one another. And I'll tell you something that you might be extremely surprised about, that we also pray for the saints. In the commemoration of the saints in the Divine Liturgy, this is how we begin. And you have to notice this because it may pass us without noticing. As this is the command of your only begotten Son, that we share in the commemoration of your saints. Graciously accord, O Lord, to remember all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. So when we are, what are we doing in the commemoration of the saints? We are asking God to remember them, means that we are praying also on their behalf. So it goes both ways. It doesn't cause any theological tension. It flows right through it. That they are in the church victorious. We are in the struggling church still here in the flesh. And one day we will all be joined together to live eternally with Christ. So our beloved Coptic Orthodox Church teaches us that we are in fellowship with all the believers. When we are sitting all in the church here tonight, we are all connected together through Christ. And when we are in heaven, we are also connected to the heavenly. And between the heavenly and the earthly, there is this amazing connection. And we have the love and respect for those who have preceded us. And also they have the same love for us because they are trying to help us in our struggles. Why is the Virgin Mary appearing? Or why does she appear? A lot of people ask. Number one, to encourage us in our spiritual walk. And these are spiritual visions, light with a figure, okay, that people see it, and the Virgin Mary appears, and sometimes she, when you look at this beautiful light that has no source, it has a form, and she is dressed in a beautiful, maybe light blue or aqua blue neon is coming out of this light, and there is a halo, and you can see some facial features. And His Holiness Pope Shenouda said that we will not be surprised, because when we are transformed into, when we lose this physical body, we become in the presence of God as light, and we are transformed into this body that is made of light. She still maintains some of her features. You can tell when some of the saints appear, like Pope Carolus or Saint Mina, you can tell what they are looking like, but there is nothing physical about them that you can hold or that you can touch. But they are coming to strengthen our faith, to tell us that yes, we are going through hardships and trials and tribulations in this life now, but hold on fast to your faith. You are on the right path. You are on the right track. And if you just continue, the end is near and eternal life is near. And what we have been taught our entire lives will get us somewhere. It's not something that is, like some other maybe faith or beliefs, something that is temporary concerning life here, which lasts for very short time compared to eternity. The gospel of health and wealth and be well here and take care of yourself and, life is short. Do this and do that. Try to enjoy the senses as much as possible. Whatever it is, this is so dangerous, because here are the saints telling us, strengthen these feeble knees and look to the author of our faith, that He is there. Hold on to the sacraments. Hold on to the spiritual life, to the angelic life, because there is something much more beautiful which is still to come. And this is a beautiful encouragement for us to keep going. At times, you and I, and most probably it's I, who get distracted with the affairs of this world. But when we have these kinds of apparitions, we have just one more push. And especially of people who are in struggling countries with poverty and so much troubles with other religions and temptations and the economy is bad and all of these things, comes to them these beautiful apparitions as a means of strength. Also to encourage us that the Holy Bible is right and correct. How many religions are out there in the world? There's so many. But I would dare to say that all of them are just mere ideologies. But what is the only religion that is proven over again and supported from heaven itself? It's like it is endorsed. These apparitions, I see them as an endorsement from heaven to our faith. It is what God looks from heaven and He says, I like this church. I like this faith. And here is my stamp of approval. Okay? The Bible is true. The Bible is correct. It is not fables and it's not myth. This is the real truth. This is the absolute truth. And that's why we have these beautiful visions from heaven. By the way, there's so many fake things that could go on, and people who can use their imagination, and we never speak about apparitions until the official church speaks up about it. Like, I don't know how many emails and forwards that I received from so many people concerning different things that are happening, but we never dared to speak about this subject until the head of the church, His Holiness Pope Shenouda, spoke, and he confirmed, and he said, even if there are some people from other denominations who are trying to come up with theories or disbeliefs or make the people doubt, what do we say to the tens of thousands of people who have seen and who have believed, not only from the Christians but from amongst the Muslims? The Muslims are more believers at times at some of the Christian denominations, some other denominations who consider the Virgin as, whatever it is, of no value. They are doubters and they go on TV and they say these are scams. But the Muslims themselves, they are saying, we have seen the Virgin. And so many miracles started to occur, where people are blind, they have their eyes open. Exactly the same thing like what happened in 1968. So these are the good news that we are sharing, that we are celebrating. And every once in a while, God comes to visit us, to to strengthen us and to give us just one push forward and to give us His stamp of approval. Also, the Virgin Mary in particular has a special place in our hearts because she is a mother. And many of the women, and men of course, can relate to her as a female, as a mother, as a kind. And in all of the stories of the miracles that are done by the Virgin Mary, she is so kind and loving. And it shows from the Holy Scriptures how during the life of our Lord Jesus, she traveled, she went far and east to care for him. How a huge sword of pain and suffering went through her internal parts, symbolically speaking, meaning the sword comes with the pains or the struggles. How the Virgin Mary was there with our Lord Jesus during his very first miracle of changing the water into wine. How the Virgin Mary was always seeking him and going after him when he was teaching. How the Virgin Mary was there underneath the cross and after the resurrection. Very sweet and very kind. And this is why so many people throughout the years and the ages and the centuries have found a connection with Saint Mary and have always found in her a mother to the motherless and someone who has a warm and a kind heart to those who have no one else to care for them. There are so many lessons that we can learn from our beloved mother, the Virgin Mary, so that we can walk in her footsteps and learn from her. What is known as the Magnificat, the praise of Saint Mary, was written in a very beautiful and poetic means that rhymes the ideas. And Saint Paul, of course, Saint Luke, being a scholar, was able to record this beautiful poem that the Virgin Mary has said. This is present in Luke chapter 1, starting from verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And another word for magnifies is declares the greatness of the Lord. And that's the very first lesson that we learn from her. How many of us are working or living their lives to declare the greatness of the Lord? Not our own greatness, not to reflect our own strength or might, but to reflect the glory of the Lord. Also, like John the Baptist has said, "He must increase while I must decrease." So she lived her life for God's glory. She let God always in the forefront and she was hiding behind him. For this reason, she was a great woman indeed. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Again, there is a joy in salvation. For so many centuries, from the beginning of the Bible, after the fall of humanity, with the eyes of the prophecy, Moses the prophet has seen the Virgin Mary. And he said in the book of Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So again, there was a vision concerning the Virgin Mary here. Who is this woman? The woman is the Virgin Mary, and her seed is our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bruise the head of the serpent, who will return us back to the bosom of Christ. And that's why in her this prophecy has been fulfilled. And she has rejoiced in God, her Savior. Salvation has now come to the world. And that's why we magnify her. We magnify her because we honor her and we respect her, because it was through her that our Lord Jesus Christ has incarnated and came to our earth. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. You see, the Virgin Mary never lost her modesty and humility at any point in her life. And this is another great lesson that we learn from her. Many of us, as soon as we have maybe a degree or have some kind of accomplishment, or has learned another language, or whatever it is that we feel that we might be separated a bit from the rest of the herd or the flock, that all of a sudden we start to be changed, that we are unapproachable, people cannot really, you know, connect with us, because we have this all of a sudden ego, or maybe this degree has all of a sudden made us greater than everyone else. But when we look at the Virgin Mary, who has received the greatest gift from God, her modesty and her humility never changed. She still considered herself the handmaid of the Lord, his servant. So this is what she is saying. He has regarded the lowly state of his hand servant, of his maid servant. So he has looked at my weakness. Who am I? I'm just, you know, a simple girl who's cleaning the temple, who has been dedicated for the Lord. I do my prayers. I'm nothing special. Who am I that God would honor me with this great gift? But actually, this is how God works. God works in reverse of how humans think. Just like he said, like Samuel said, when he was going to choose a king from the children of Jesse. For man looks at the outward appearance. As for God, he looks at the heart. She had the right heart in the right place, the right time, right conditions. God looked from heaven and said, that's the one that I choose. She is the one and only. And she maintained to be the maidservant of the Lord even after the angel came to her and he gave her the good news of the incarnation. And after she gave birth and as she struggled all her life, she looked at our Lord Jesus as the one whom she loves. And she was his mother, but also she was his servant and handmaiden. She was the handmaiden of the Lord. And then she gave us a little hint, and for this reason, we have to obey the command of the Bible. Some people will say, why is it that we have some praises for the Virgin? You worship her? No, we don't worship her. But the Bible is the Word of God. Each and every word in the Bible is authentic and is commanding and gives us instruction to our life. What does the Bible says? It says right there and clear in Luke, because this is a really important verse for Luke 1:48. And for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. From generation to generation. So it's not only tied or connected to her days or one generation or one century after. From henceforth, from this point forward, all generations will call me blessed. So it is God's command here through the Holy Spirit that we have to call her blessed. And that's why we magnify her, or we bless her, or we honor her. This is another word for it. Like when you call someone blessed, that means you are honoring them or respecting them. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Things that she has never expected, because she wanted to be in hiding, but God wanted to honor her. She wanted to be unknown, but God wanted her to be known. And again, the perfect vessel for God to work through her. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And again, it's a paradox. Because again, to us up until this day, it is the people who are always in this, you know, big scenes and who are famous and well-known and pop stars. These are the ones who receive the most honor. But he is commanding us here to look at the simple people, the hidden people, the people who are quieter. And these are the people whom we consider them as blessing amongst us. God wants us to notice the not so much, you know, the mighty ones who are sitting on their throne, but the lowly people. These are the ones God wants to exalt. And I always say, for me personally, I'm the one who is always speaking and receiving all the glory and the comments and the words, and my reward is long gone. But I envy the little quiet people who are always in the church and they feel the word and they want to live the word, the ones who are living a lowly life. That doesn't mean that we're going to shy away from our gifts. But you and I, we are all going to struggle together to let God be present and come to the front and the forefront, and we will hide behind Him. We pray that whatever ministry that we are in, that God sees this lowly state of His maidservant in all of us, regardless if we have this ministry that is open in the public of speech, or a very small ministry where we can just help one person, or someone who is in need, or someone who is in trouble. Whatever it is that God gives us a gift to do, definitely as a one body in Christ, we have to connect our hands together and work for His own glory. There's so many things that we can say about our beloved mother, the Virgin Mary, especially during this blessed month of care. And after all these beautiful apparitions that are happening, you can see the videos on YouTube, amongst other places, and so many forwards. We are happy because of heaven's seal and stamp to us as a Coptic church. This is not to say anything else about anyone else, but we are thankful. We are thankful for God's approval. It doesn't mean that we are perfect or that we have reached, you know, the level of, you know, the best. No, that's not what we are saying. We have to maintain our modesty and have to maintain our love and focus on Christ together. But again, these small indications or signs give us a spiritual push to tell us, well done, keep going. You are on the right path. We are not there yet, but you are on the, you have found the route that will take you to heaven. Just like our forefathers and mothers who have walked in these footsteps before, we are following in their footsteps, and all of us will be enjoying heaven together with our Lord Jesus Christ in His bosom, amongst all the choir of the holy saints and the angels who are awaiting us to say, well done, welcome home. May the Lord bless us all in this evening and grant us the blessing of our beloved mother, the Virgin Mary, and all the choir of the saints, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.